This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. We are recording a 49ers free agency preview. Who would I be doing that on the 49ers Plus Minus show? But the co-host, one of the originals, the guy, Matt Barros. Okay, free agency, basically the window opens Monday, negotiating window. That's when the deals get done anyway, if you're the big ones. What are you looking for? Like, what's the first sign that we're going to know something about the 49ers free agency path once Monday starts?
Well, we usually learn something right away on Monday, because they've been big players in free agency, despite all the cautions about, okay, our cap is really high and we have all these expensive pieces. They've always managed to sign somebody big on the first day. And, David and I did that build your own roster exercise. And I think one of the lessons of it is that there's certainly an avenue to do that again this year. Again, it's going to take restructuring, but not anything that's overly painful. I mean, restructuring a guy like Fred Warner or a guy like Charvarius Ward. I mean, both of these guys in their mid-20s, coming off of really good seasons. They've both been extremely injury-free over their careers. So, I mean, sort of safe bets is my point. Which frees you up enough space to go out and get at least a moderately priced free agent. And if they follow their MO, it's going to be a defensive guy, and they should probably look for a lineman just because, they're so bereft of linemen right now. So that's what I'm sort of anticipating, or at least I'm going to be ready for that to happen. And John Lynch hinted that, okay, that's something that they were looking at. He said that at the combine a couple of weeks ago. Will they make a splash this year? It's something that we're definitely considering. We haven't come to a conclusion yet, but I think that idea is certainly plausible.
I always err on the side of them trying to do something. Always,
yeah.
Just throw it out there, see if they can do it. Hargrave last season, I'd heard little things about that, and Charvarius Ward the season before that, which I had not heard. I just think they would, and I just don't think Chase Young or Randy Gregory, two free agents, are guys that they go, okay, this, they made a difference for this team. Let's pay these guys. I think they will have an eye for other things. Look, before we get to that, I mean, in a different kind of restructuring, I've thrown out Eric Armstead just because his cap hit's so big and his value is decreasing. I don't want to be mean about this, but his value is not the cap number. It's not even close. And maybe Juszczyk. I mean, could you see like just pay cuts for those two guys? Like, we'll cut you, but we would rather bring you back at a lower number. Like, those are two pretty hefty you know, tag, but I'm sorry, cap numbers for their, I mean, Muschek is not as, you know, he's still very valuable. He was very good in the Super Bowl. But do you see kind of a different kind of restructuring possible for a couple of those players?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And those would be two that would come up. You know, Juszczyk has been basically the same guy since he's gotten here. I mean, I don't see any diminishment of his skills. So I think that would be hard for him to do ego-wise because he's just as good as he was when he got here in 2017. Armstead's been hurt the last couple of seasons. That's been problematic at times. But boy, you know, he played really well in the Super Bowl.
He did.
He played with an injury, a significant injury. So again, that's a tough ask for somebody who really sacrificed himself throughout the playoffs. He's getting surgery right now, but he was one of the guys who stood out to me in that game. Him and Bosa, and a couple of others. But I thought that was a big kind of stark contrast from the 2019 Super Bowl. I didn't think that Armstead jumped out in that game. I thought it was all about Buckner and Bosa, which was why it was so alarming, unsettling that they got rid of Buckner a few days later, really. And they kept Armstead, but Armstead really showed up in the Super Bowl. And, you know, he's hungry for that championship. They also don't have anybody to, you know, what if he calls their bluff? I mean, they don't really have a guy to come in there. They could go after somebody in free agency. They could use their top pick on a defensive tackle. That would be a good spot. You would get one of the top defensive tackles in the draft if you did that. But boy, in a Super Bowl window like they're in right now, it's a pretty big risk. The last time they tried doing that, they ended up with Javon Kinlaw replacing DeForest Buckner, and that didn't work out quite as swimmingly as they had hoped.
Worked so much they had to pay Javon Hargrave,
right,
$22 million to do that a couple years later. We've seen the Bills, you know, rifle through there. I mean, they just cut like the entire secondary and redid Von Miller. I think we're probably past the time when the 49ers would do that. I don't know. They still got a couple days. Could you see any surprise? Like, whoa, they had to get rid of that guy. I don't see it. I just don't. Unless it's Armstead, unless it's a showdown, you're saying, like he just won't take the pay cut. And they're going to go through a cold process, which you kind of have to do sometimes. I know it would be Armstead, that one would really be a big one in the locker room. I think he might agree to some sort of, you know, moving the money around a little bit. And I don't know that there's a big salary out there for him on the market. Maybe there is. Anybody else that you could see like, whoa, that's one that hits pretty hard?
No, just because there aren't any sort of logical economic moves to make that would, you know, all of a sudden spring a lot of money for them. So some of those cuts or trades would come with a hit. Yep. And like I said, I mean, they think that they're Super Bowl worthy again. This is the second swing of the axe that they're going to take, and they want to do it with these guys. So I think that they're going to, my thought is that they're going to keep the status quo in place. You know, the question is, how do they improve upon who they were last year? And I think defensive end is a big way to go. Obviously, they made not one but two trades midseason. You can't go into 2024 with Nick Bosa and then scrimping on the other side of the line like you did last year. You signed Cleveland Furrell for a moderate free agency deal. You thought Drake Jackson was going to kind of take charge at one of those spots. He used a fifth round pick on Robert Beal. That's scrimping. And I think that it's clear that you need somebody good on the other side. I mean, if you're going to topple Patrick Mahomes, you're not going to be able to do it with Drake Jackson and Robert Beal Jr. You need somebody prominent opposite Bosa there. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they went after this guy from Houston who had a great season last year, Jonathan Greenard, 12 and a half sacks, played for D'Amico Ryans, is well-versed in what this defense does. He's 26 years old. He's 265, 270 pounds. He's basically the same as Bosa, a guy that, you know, you expect to play 75% of the snaps every game. And then you have Drake Jackson and Robert Beal coming off the bench and being a situational pass rusher, filling in when needed, but you're not having to rely on those guys because those guys, frankly, aren't reliable at this point.
One thing reading you and Dave Lombardi's piece today about, you know, prospective free agents, and we'll get through some other names, is like, you know, we always say like they get guys hired from their staff, so they get those guys poach players from. We've seen it happen. Aziz Alshire, who we'll probably bring up also later on this, you know, Rand Carthen goes to Tennessee, takes him. D'Amico goes to Houston and takes a couple players. Mike McDaniel goes to Miami and whatever. Robert Saleh to New York. But the flip side of that is, there are players out there on those guys' rosters who played their system that the 49ers can go, okay. Like, and I, you know, there's the guy from the Jets, right? Bryce Huff. There's guys like you could just plug in because they played the 49ers system. So that's one, it's a kind of a two-way thing where you lose coaches and executives and the system gets spread out and they take your players, but then they also have players in their system that you can go take from them. And I think maybe that could be something that could, I just happened to be reading Barros and Lombardi doing that. So it's amazing sometimes the things you pick up by reading Barros and Lombardi. Now your number one guy listed, obviously for many obvious reasons, Danielle Hunter, Minnesota Vikings edge. He's been out there. He's not old. He's very productive. It was incredibly productive last season. Where would you put that on the, you know, the 49ers odds of that being their guy and then being able to get him?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, it would be, he would be the top guy. You know, he's somebody that's going to command a contract that's worth at least $20 million a year. A huge number. You know, in his favor is the fact that he's been really consistent. He's sort of Buckner-like in that he's played full seasons his whole career. That was one of the main draws of DeForest Buckner. You don't have to worry about the guy missing eight games a season. He's Mr. Reliable, and Hunter's been the same way. Hunter really had a great game against the 49ers in, what was it, week seven this year, that game out in Minneapolis. He'd be top of the list. You know, the drawbacks are the salary that he would command and the fact that he's going to be turning 30 years old during the season. That's why Greenard might be a little bit more attractive. He would come with a slightly lower price tag. He's only 26. You could convince yourself that his arc is going up. I mean, Danielle Hunter's arc is up there, but, and it's been consistent, but he's probably not going to get any better than what he's been. You know, either way, you've sort of got those bookends that just have, the 49ers have been striving for this since 2019 when they made a big trade for a D Ford and then paid him a ton of money. And they got like six or seven games out of it. And then his body fell apart and they've been chasing it ever since. And they haven't been, it's been Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And it just hasn't been quite right with everybody that they brought in. So if they're willing to pay money, they could get somebody that that they really like at that position, which would allow them to go into the draft, a draft that's deep at offensive tackle, defensive tackle, and nickel cornerback, and really kind of concentrate on those three positions.
I agree. On that part, I agree. Like, I think the draft is where they're going to get their tackle, or if they're going to draft a guard, that's so deep, you probably don't spend the money for a veteran at this point. If you know you can get somebody on a five-year contract with probably a higher skill level at this point, or not having to pay through the nose, and probably cornerback too. I just think those two needs seem to line up with where the draft is heavy. And I think you go sign a defense. I think you do sign a pass rusher. Now, my guy, even more expensive, but they do a lot of business plucking from the Carolina Panthers. Brian Burns got the franchise tag, but non-exclusive. Guess who else had the non-exclusive tag put on them before the Fournette traded for him? Dee Ford. And they work out a trade. They don't have to give him 2-1. They give him a 2, right? You can negotiate within the tag. And Brian Burns is like 26, right? He's a fantastic player. You'd have to pay. He'd be like $28 million, right? He'd be way up there. And there'd have to be – there might be some major repercussions if they do that. But you thought the same thing with Javon Hargrave, right? I mean, there's ways to do this if you're willing to pay up big money, you know, big, big upfront money. And Jed York has been willing to do that. We'll see how long he's willing to do that. You know, here's my thought. Like, can you give next year's one? Like, keep this year's one because you need to get your tackle with that thing. But next year's one, you know, maybe something else, and you know, which – pretty much equivalent to what they traded for Dee Ford back then. And you go get Brian Burns and you pay him $30 million. Is that out of the question, Barrows?
I mean, if I were the Panthers, it might be out of the question because all of a sudden you're basically trading for second rounders here. You know, you might be able to get something better from another team. But, I mean, that's the guy. I mean, I was thinking, you know, David and I did our own versions of the build your roster thing. And I initially had Josh Allen, you know, the Jaguars pass rusher came out in the same draft as Nick Bosa back in 2019, same age as Bosa, really starting to come on in Carolina. But that's the guy that you want. I mean, if you're thinking of, okay, how the heck are we going to topple Patrick Mahomes? I mean, how would we ever beat the Chiefs if we keep meeting them in the playoffs? You know, a way to do it is the way that the Broncos won their Super Bowl against the Panthers. What was it, 2015? You have two incredible pass rushers, and you just keep the opponent off balance all game long. And you have to spend money to do that. So, I mean, I think it's absolutely plausible. I think when the 49ers kind of dream about their ideal roster, what they dream about. And the 49ers, and to their credit, as you noted, you always kind of, you know, think that the 49ers are going to make that big aggressive move because that's exactly who Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are. I mean, if they can imagine it, they try to do it. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility at all. That's the type of guy that they need opposite Bosa.
Josh Allen, you're trying to make Trent Baalke slam the table a few times. We hear this, but I know he's a loyal listener.
He's going to spill soda on us now.
We also had a couple. Okay, we could go. There's a few other pass rushers, but we can kind of we mentioned a bunch of them. You mentioned receivers. Like, there's not a number one receiver. There's not even maybe a 1A, 1B receiver. But one, and it's on Trent Baalke's team. DJ Chark interested me because he's kind of a big play guy, right? He's not your 80 reception receiver. The 49ers don't have. They don't do that. That's not their system. But he's just not that guy where you're just throwing it to him. He's not that big flanker that you're just going to feed him the ball. But he can make some plays. You know, if they're not thrilled with what they've got, you know, Danny Gray, et cetera, aren't sure with Juwan Jennings, do you think they make a decision on Jennings and that's it? Or is it like, okay, maybe we can do better and then we'll go see if we can get a DJ Chark or what Darnell Mooney's another name you had there. Those are interesting names to me. I think those are solid players. If the price tag is correct, would they just make, you know, say goodbye Juwan? Would they, you know, could you see a mix of Juwan and these guys? I kind of find it hard to believe they could afford to keep Jennings and get another player. Where are you on their receiver situation?
Yeah, I mean, both those guys you just mentioned have speed, and that's something that Shanahan's always looking for. He had Marquise Goodwin when he first got here in 2017. That's why they used a third-round pick on Danny Gray. He likes that element. It creates space for Kyle Shanahan. And I'm sure Brock Purdy, who shares the same brain as Kyle Shanahan, likes it for the same reasons. And I'm sure Ayuk and Debo Samuel do too. The issue is that they drafted this guy with that in mind, Danny Gray, and he has one catch, which came, I think, in the season finale last year. Over the last two seasons. So he has not been productive. I don't think that they go out and spend money on one of those guys. I mean, my sense is that they hold on to Juwan Jennings either with a deal, probably isn't coming at this point, or with a tender. They also have to kind of gird themselves for the possibility that somebody shines Jennings away from them. I don't know what their tender amount's going to be. It could be the second round tender. It could be the original round tender. The original round tender is a seventh round pick. If I'm another team and I want to kind of instill toughness and a reliable number two, number three guy, I would do that in a heartbeat, and force the 49ers to kind of come to the table with it.
Here's a question. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I'm just babbling at this point. I think that the 49ers want to move forward in 2024 with Jennings, Debo, and Ayuk. And then after that, I think, then you'll see some changes after this year. They have to have somebody in the pipeline, though, if that's going to happen.
My point was going to be, you are babbling, and stop it. No, that was not my point. Here's a question. I don't know the answer. If you tender Jennings, which they're going to do, can't you just negotiate a long-term deal while you tender? I mean, you don't have to sign him for that number, right? He can accept it, I'm sure, and be on a one-year deal. But to depress the cap number, you can sign him for a three-year deal and just spread it out over those 3 years, right? You're not just locked into that number.
No, but it's preventing him from being a unrestricted free agent the next year.
And he can take it. You just let
another team do the work for you. Let the other team come up with a deal, and then you decide, you've got the right of first refusal. You decide, okay, yeah, we like that deal. We'll do it. And that may be what happens. His agent is Drew Rosenhaus. He's going to be aggressive with it, like he always is. I can't imagine that they sign that they do a deal now, sort of on the cusp of free agency. But you're seeing some teams do that. You saw Mike Evans sign. You saw Ezra Cleveland, a guy who was on our list. He signed this morning.
Right off your list.
Yeah, Balky saw that. He got real nervous. He said, "I better sign this guy now while I have a chance." No, Ezra Cleveland's definitely somebody the 49ers have been looking at ever since whatever draft he was in, 2019, 2020 draft. He's a dyed-in-the-wool zone blocking guard, basically. He's good on the hoof. So they looked at him back then in the draft. They looked at him as far as a trade. He was with the Vikings at the beginning of the 2023 season, and then the Jaguars traded for him. So he's off the list now. He's not a possibility. You know, the guy that's interesting, and David is the one who wrote about this guy, is Robert Hunt, who's sort of like was typecast as sort of a big power blocking guy, but he's been in Mike McDaniel's system in Miami the last few seasons, and he's been really good, especially in pass protection. You know, when you're thinking about Brock Purdy and signing Purdy to a long-term deal, I would think that that's paramount. You know, that's even more important than the precious zone blocking, just being able to keep Purdy upright, which obviously was an issue in the Super Bowl.
They got to invest in that right side offensive line. We know that they have not. It's kind of a philosophy, right? They think they can get lower rated guys and teach them. And you put your money in other spots, but I just think they've got to put some, you know, somebody who can figure out who to block on third and four near the goal line would probably be the appropriate way to go. Chris Jones did something on social media that made it seem like he's returning to the Chiefs, which I assumed that was going to happen. You got to block Chris Jones. Like, they have not figured out how to block Chris Jones. You say Mahomes on the one side, they've got to figure out what to do with Chris Jones. I got another wild card. He's not been released yet, but I think Khalil Mack's going to be released by the Chargers. They got so many cap problems. Maybe Harbaugh wants to keep him. I don't know. Maybe they can find a way, but they bring Brandon Staley in. That's a Khalil Mack guy, right? That is a Khalil Mack kind of guy. Could you see the 49ers doing something with Khalil Mack if he's available? It would take some money, but it wouldn't take the same kind of money he's been making.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Staley connection, what we were just talking about, just the caliber of a pass rusher you'd have. He's worked opposite a Bosa before. He knows what it's like. So yeah, that would make sense. He's a little long in the tooth. I mean, ideally you would, if you're spending big money, you're spending it on a 26-year-old that you know think that you're going to get four or five more good years from. And can be one of your building blocks for the future as you're starting to transition out of the stars that we know today, and going to, you know, look who's in their mid-20s on this team. Brock Purdy, of course, Fred Warner, Bosa. These are going to be your building blocks. Chris McCaffrey, I think, is only 27. He's actually a lot younger than I thought he was. I mean, I feel like I've been watching and reading about Christian McCaffrey for the last 20 years, but you know, he's another guy that you can build a team around. McCaffrey, Ayuk, Purdy on offense, Warner, Bosa, Charvarius Ward on defense. That's going to get you into the playoffs a lot if you kind of draft well and dress the roster nicely around those guys. That's a good, those are good tent poles to have.
Jake Moody, you got to throw him in there.
Moody, of course, yeah.
Okay, of their own, they have a ton of their own free agents, not many starters, but players who contributed, players who were vital parts of what they did. Ferrell's a starter, not a Deshaun Gibson starter. Kind of that list of, you know, B-level important players, not A-level, they're not going to get $20 million a year. Which ones, because offhand, quickly, do you see staying, and which ones do you see the 49ers kind of being willing to let go?
No one's going to like these answers, but John Feliciano is one at right guard. I think they were very pleasantly surprised by him. And, you know, that this runs counter to what we were just saying. They need to finally spend money at that right guard spot. Mm-hmm. But their MO in the past has been to – you know, especially that right guard spot, to try to get away with kind of a cheap fix there. And Feliciano would fit very nicely into that category. I think a lot of people would love to see Azeez Al-Shaair come back to this team, you know, especially with the Achilles injury to Dre Greenlaw. But unless they think that Greenlaw is going to be absent for, you know, the first, you know, 8 weeks of the season or something like that, very hard for me to see them spending a lot of money on what is effectively a number three linebacker in that rotation. So I can see somebody like Oren Burks coming back. Yep. Maybe it's not Burks, but somebody who's going to cost, you know, between $1.5 and $2.5 million a year, a number three linebacker cost.
Who play special teams. Play special teams.
Yeah. And you have to play special teams. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, Bobby Wagner, I put out Quan Alexander because he could just come in and be good right away. But neither of those guys really play special teams anymore. So, again, you know, you're looking for that 26-year-old to come in and possibly play a few games at weak side linebacker, but mostly, you know, spend 10 snaps a game at strong side linebacker and be a stalwart on special teams.
Javon Kinlaw, probably not back.
I mean, just talking to people around the league, I think there are going to be a few guys that surprise as far as the types of deal that they're going to get. And I would put Javon Kinlaw at the top of that list. He could get a lot more money than we're expecting him to get. The other guy who I was kind of surprised when I heard his name mentioned is Charlie Warner, who, you know, just you can count the number of receptions he's had on your ears and nose. They're not very many, but he has turned into a really good blocker, and he was their best special teamer. When George Odom went down last year, it was really Warner who stepped up, and he's become really, really good at that. So, with all these teams playing the Kyle Shanahan offense, I think Warner, sort of in a Kyle Juszczyk role, is going to get a lot of attention, or more attention than we think. Maybe $3.5-4 million a year deal.
That's where Cam Latu has to do something, right? Like, you draft the guy where they drafted him. He takes a redshirt season. You've got to believe he can do. He could be one of your tight ends, right? Even if it's a third tight end, instead of paying up for, you know, because they're going to keep him on the roster. I don't think they're cutting him. So if he's on the roster, he's probably going to be one of your guys. We'll see how he is. I mean, I was there for a lot of those training camp practices. He dropped like every pass thrown to him. but and then went on IR. But like, there's some guys that like, yeah, we've talked about the redshirt guys, and not all of them are going to play in the next season, but some of them have to, you know, whether it's Danny Gray or, you know, there's been various others. I would think that's like the tight end. I just don't think you can invest when, if you're going to pay all this other money for all these other things, and we're talking about maybe even adding one more big time guy as a pass rusher. That's one spot where you can't spend there. You know, and Kinlaw is another one. Like, you know, they've paid him so much money for not very much. If someone else wants him, you go ahead, and I'll just go with, you know, Keith Givens or someone else. You know, what's the Kalia Davis is his name, whatever. You know, like, oh, yeah. They've got bodies, right? They got bodies, and Kinlaw hasn't been a lot better than a body, even when he's been healthy, and he's been obviously not healthy very much. Any other potential news, like things that would grab our attention from this free agency situation? Anything you're waiting for before Monday?
Well, the Juwan Jennings thing, that's the only deal I can see happening there. Maybe a Charvarius Ward extension. I mean, that would be a very logical thing for them to do. He's, you know, for my money, he was the most underrated player on the team this last season. And he got a lot of publicity, but I think he was really, really good. Everything that they wanted him to be, you know, right after that Minnesota game where he had the would-be interception kind of snatched from his hands and turned into a touchdown. He was, I mean, that sort of knocked him into a new level. And, I mean, that's what you want to see. Somebody who has a bad game like that, he actually had a good game, really kind of step it up into something else. And that's what he was from that point forth. And then lo and behold, it turns out he was playing with a abdominal injury the whole year. He just had surgery on that. So that's the type of guy that you want. He's really good, deserved to make the Pro Bowl. He's somebody that you want to lock in for a long time. That would be a really nice deal. And that would also clear space this year, theoretically, too. It would be a little bit less on the 2024 cap. Gives them a little bit more wiggle room to make some maneuvers in free agency.
Well, you know, Lynch and Shanahan like him because they were what, essentially overruling Steve Wilks, or strongly suggesting to Steve Wilks for a game or two that he go, you know, shadow the best receiver when Wilks had not. You know, that's another sign of what was just not going right with Wilks and the defense, when it's pretty clear that that was like Lynch and Shanahan deciding to do that when Wilks wasn't going to do that. And it worked a couple times. So that they think of him as a league seat, you know, total, like the lead cornerback, no questions asked.
I think Jed York can save some money by just hiring John Lynch as the defensive coordinator.
He and Trent Baalke, yeah, there's a history of general managers, at least
there is. There absolutely is. They used to call him Coach Baalke on the field.
Who was that, like, did Sean Goldson say that? Something like that. Like, yeah,
it was Jimmy Ward, I think. Jimmy. Yeah.
Oh, we miss Baalke. We miss all of them. But the Harbaugh Baalke days, you had to live through them to really understand what those days were like. And then the Tom Sula days, and then the Chip Kelly days, and then all those other things. It's just classic content. Too bad we didn't have a podcast back then. But we can still talk about it on this podcast. All right, Barros, I think we run the gamut here. I'm off next week at a inopportune time. We might pop back in with a Me on Vacation podcast. I think we should as the free agency stuff happens. I'm usually very heavy into that. It's just circumstances beyond my control on this one. But I will be popping back in, I think. I might even write a column because I think stuff's going to happen. I always bet on something, them trying to do something big, and I really do think they're going to try to do something big. They got a window. Like, they do. This is, they don't love talking about it, but this is a window. And Trent Williams is not playing forever. And, you know, Debo might not be on the roster forever. And this is, they have Brock Purdy on this very low salary. Like, this is the time to try to maximize it. Then you have to redo it in 3 years, you redo it in 3 years or 2 years or even 1 year. They're aggressive front office. I think they're going to try to do something very aggressive. And I think they will do something very aggressive.
Yeah, you're going to want to chime in when they trade for Zach Wilson.
yeah, so he's now competing for the starting quarterback job. that is one, you know, there's some quarterbacks I don't think Kyle would be in on. I think they would have drafted Zach Wilson if they had, if he was there at three, right? Do you agree with that? They would have drafted
him. I guess so. I mean, he never talked much about it, and it was always sort of sloughed off as we knew that the Jets were going to take Zach Wilson. So, you know, and then obviously Trevor Lawrence went to the Jaguars. So those weren't guys that they really heavily researched in that Trey Lance draft because they thought that they were going elsewhere. But that was always the implication that, yeah, these guys are really good, but we knew that they were so good, we wouldn't have a shot at them.
Yep. I wouldn't bring him in, and it's not very Shanahan, right, to bring in a guy who's got a thing about him or to be a backup. Like, there's going to be discussion about it. There's going to be, oh, what's Zach Wilson looking like? He's not in love with that stuff, but I do think he thinks he's a talented player. There's some other guys out there who I go, there is not going to be a Shanahan guy. Like, I saw Joe Milton's whole college career, and he throws the ball 80 yards in the combine. But, oh, my God, Joe Milton, he'd be great. I go, that is the exact opposite of what Kyle Shanahan wants a quarterback. He does not care if he can throw it 80 yards. Can he read the defense? Can he make the right set? Does his footwork work out? And Joe Milton, that does not work. Someone else is taking Joe Milton. But Zach Wilson, we'll see. I don't think so, but we shall see. It's a good one. I will write if that happens. I guarantee you already locked that in. Or if it's taking anybody from Trent Ball, I might have to do that.
Right.
All right, Miles. Yeah. There's the show for today. We will hit you back next week at some point.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah.